My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
29 FM, ESPN.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. The Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at jwright929 ESPN. As always, you can listen on 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, you can always keep up with everything going on right here on 92.9 FM ESPN by downloading the Odyssey app. It's free to download, free to listen. Just download the app. Go over to 92.9. You can subscribe and keep up with all of our content all day. You can even rewind if you miss a segment. Dennis Fuller back in studio producing the program. Glad to have him back with us. My company on Mondays. It's good to have the director and head coach of Team Thad. He is Norton Hurd the Fourth. Coach, good day, sir. At Dream Big Hurd on Twitter, on X. At Team Thad on socials, right?
On socials? No, yeah, my personal one is I Am Coach Hurd. Then we got Team Thad but Nation on
Dream Big Coach Hurd's Twitter, though, right?
Twitter, yes, sir.
I am Coach Hurd's Insta, right?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
So we've got all our plugs. Let's talk about what we got coming up on the program. Massive week. Weekend of sports. I feel like anytime you finally get NFL and college, everything all back, it just feels like wall to wall, you're just glued to your TV. So we'll get into that. Penny Hardaway also spoke one-on-one with John Rothstein. It is over at College Hoops Today. It's an interview that you can go read for yourself. We'll discuss a little bit of that. Jason Munn's going to join us like he does on Mondays here in about 30 minutes or so. We'll get his thoughts on that interview. Also get his thoughts on Ed Scott's interview that he did with Jeff Calkins back on Friday. We'll get into the list. We'll talk some week one overreactions as well from the world of the NFL. College we'll get into primarily during the list. But I think let's start here, Hurd. Nobody's plugged into the Memphis basketball scene like you are. When you think about the last week around Tiger basketball, everything, where do you start? Like, what stands out to you? Because I know I've texted you a little bit, but kind of tell me where you're at.
It has been interesting for sure.
Putting it mildly.
Yeah. It been pretty interesting because it feels like it's a spotlight on it right now. Like, man, you talked a little bit.
Yeah.
That
maybe a floodlight.
Yeah. That every, you know, little thing that is happening is something. It's like you can't go without, you wake up from a nap. Oh, this happened. So I feel like at some point it will die down. I don't know if it's this week, next week, or next month. And I feel like after that, you know, like kind of like the athletic director said, I feel like Penny will still have his last word on how everybody's treating it. I feel like he will, you know, he's able to, the ball in his court, meaning he still have a season in front of him. No matter what anybody thinks, I don't think anything's going to happen crazy before the season, right? So it's still in his control, I feel like, his destiny in the program, because you know this, Jeffrey, everybody's passionate and excited about basketball, and if he has a 10-game winning streak and we're beating some of the, you know, better teams and we're playing some really, really good basketball, I think even some people that's 50-50 or halfway naysayers, I do think he do have some personal haters, but I think overall the other people do love the program. And if the program's doing well, then they will jump back with support, my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think there are a lot of people that are frustrated. But unlike what happens with most coaches, when a fan base kind of turns and they just decide they're out, it's really hard to get them back. The best example we can say locally is, I think a lot of people at the beginning of last year were pretty much out on Ryan Silverfield. Well, let him win, and really the bowl game. The bowl game is really what turned everybody's attention. And then it's the momentum of able to bring everybody back. You bring your quarterback back, and now you have this unique position of they could be a playoff team. And, you know, a lot will be determined by this week. But he was at least able to turn them a little bit. Well, the danger for him will be, okay, if you don't win the league this year, and when everyone's looking around going, who's even in the league?
Yeah.
If you don't win the league this year, then it's a lot easier for people just to revert back and be like, oh, I was right the first time. Penny's in this complete opposite mold in which everybody wants it to work. And the frustration, I think, is largely based in, all right, it's been 6 years. There's been two tournament appearances and one game. And I think that's, to me, the key question. Are we going through all of this that we're going through simply because the winning hasn't been that big? Like, is it actually a tale as old as time in which coach underdelivers and people get frustrated and then all of a sudden the heat's cranked up? Or is it something more? Is it something different? Or is it just a reminder of the impact that Tiger basketball has, and in particular that Penny Hardaway has? Because Cobb and I were talking about this. If generic, who's the Texas Tech guy's now? He was at North Texas. I'm blanking on his name.
He was at North Texas.
But let's say he, in September, does the same thing that Penny does, in which announces in September he's firing four coaches and gives a statement. David was like, would that be news? Would my editors be telling me I got to write that? And where I kind of netted out was, I think it becomes news just because of the timing. It's not, oh my God, look at what Texas Tech, look at how this is going down. It's the fact that it's September and you make those choices and those decisions. So I think you could scroll over to CBS Sports, the college basketball page, and you'd see a headline, Texas Tech moves on from four coaches or fires four coaches. But it's not getting promoted to the level that it is with Penny Hardaway. Now, that works both ways. When it's good, it's easy to get Penny Hardaway pub. But I do think there's also this idea that it feels like there's like an unnecessary picking on him. Do you sense that?
I feel like things are being, some simple things are being highlighted, yes. And I think the way he's doing his interviews lately, if you listen in and you really like, not even just knowing Penny, you read human beings that are passionate, I feel like he feels like that, and I feel like, you know, people that support him feels like that too.
Yeah, and I guess, though, because there are certain things, I don't know, I kind of see it two ways. One, there are certain things, if you've covered a college basketball program or a college football program, you do realize there's stuff that goes on and doesn't get out. But it's stuff that if it got out, you could easily make the case this is chaotic. But I guess what I'm taking note of is it's either one of two things. It's either A, it's getting out now because there is an agenda, or there's leaks and whatnot. And so it allows, because Penny is going to be a lightning rod, because anything you write Penny Hardaway is going to get, you know, promoted, aggregated, whatnot. I think to me, like, that's kind of the key question. Is this someone that, because what we would see all the time is if there's decision makers that would like to move on from the coach, well, one of the first things you start to see is you start seeing things get leaked that, like, left and right. I mean, this isn't unique to Memphis. This is unique to college. This is what happens in college athletics. Or, though, is it where I would spin it against him, or could say I could make the case against him, you know that you're under scrutiny and everyone's looking for something to give you. Why are this many leaks? Why is all this info coming out? Like, you're making yourself an easy target, and I don't think that's necessary. Is any of that fair to you?
No, it's very fair, but I don't want to pick one or the other. I think it's both. And
I think that's actually a more than fair. a lot of times we think it's like a TV show in which it's either a scheme or it's like let's watch this not tight locker room or not tight coaching room leak and turn on itself. No, oftentimes it's usually a little both.
Yeah. I think it's both, Jeffrey. I'm going to tell you why, because, yes, the people have a motive right now, and it is getting, like you say, a lot of write-ups for people who want to put it out and things locally. We have done such a good job. It's going nationally. But on the flip side, I don't know what Penny said this. I think he personally said it, but they do feel like it's a mold right now in the in his organization.
Yes.
Some stuff that is getting out, like, as soon as they leave practice, as soon as they leave meetings, to the point that, you know, some people were saying it was somebody that, you know, even they had to start watching people, they felt like the hitman guy was getting, you know, information or whatever like that. So I think it's a bit of both, and I think that's what's making it, you know, more worse, because it's like, not only is stuff coming out that we don't want, then it's like, it feels like somebody in here is giving this to the wrong people or to the people who has the agenda. So I think that caused currently a bad situation. Now, I do think before the interview over the weekend, I know what he was trying to do. I got to give Penny props and respect, because he is trying to say this is not a big deal. The problem is, I mean, I don't think it's a huge deal right now, because even with the letter, you know, people, that stuff happens all the time. It ain't like that letter came from the NCAA. It said nothing. Right. You get what I mean?
No. But it's essentially, you tell me if I'm wrong, because my interpretation of it was, normally stuff that gets tossed around as what we used to consider negative recruiting, it was just put in a piece of paper and whatever was circulated. But there was a lot of accusations. There wasn't a lot of, from what I have seen, there wasn't a lot of proof.
Proof, like behind.
Right.
Yeah,
and
no
so
substance.
You hear this stuff all the time. And I'm not even saying you hear this about Memphis. I'm talking about when I was covering recruiting. You know, if Ole Miss is going after a guy, you hear, well, here's what State's saying to him about this guy, or here's what Alabama's saying about the Ole Miss target, or whatnot. So you hear, but essentially it just got put on a piece of paper. But to me, that was like, it's kind of neither here nor there. Like, what made it the story, though, was the public acknowledgement from the school saying, yes, we are aware of the letter. We did include it to the NCAA. I still, though, think, if you made me predict, we've known, like, I heard Ed Scott say, the school's known about the letter since Ed was getting interviewed. And so, before that, my suspicion is that letter in some form or fashion has existed for months. And I think also what probably is more likely than not happened is Memphis dug on it, realized, hey, this isn't really going anywhere. There's not proof. Like, we're not saying that, oh, this is 100% a work of fiction, but nobody, you can't, like, prove it. So, do the, hey, NCAA, you know, we just want you to know, here's the letter. We've looked into it. There's nothing there, but we're going to include it. But I also, I also think that when you have someone that's a head of your communications department that's a 20-year veteran and also knows that the head coach is Penny Hardaway, I find it hard to believe that they knew if they confirmed it, it wouldn't be a story.
Mm-hmm.
And so it leads me to believe that someone somewhere did at least want to fire a flare gun. I'm not saying wanted to take a blowtorch out, but at least wanted to send some kind of a message. Would you say that that's a fair interpretation? Do you disagree with that? How do you feel?
No, I think that's very fair. I actually, with everything that's going on, I was, and I don't know if I'm using this word right, because this is a strong word, I was a little disappointed in it. Because it was already so much of kind of like negativity with the coach's situation and all that. And I feel like you say, people put stuff out like this all the time. Like you say, what you used to call negative recruiting. But if the NCAA don't do it, but when your leadership, like you said, they could have just been throwing it to them because they know it don't go nowhere. But like you say, once you do that and you tell, you know, the guy that called, Paul, whoever, it's like, it creates more headlines. Like you say,
you made it a story.
Yeah.
I would actually argue if you no comment it, or there's a way that you could have, essentially by acknowledging it, that allowed the letter to circulate.
Mm-hmm.
Because up until then, I know plenty of media people that had the letter and were like, I don't know how to write this because there's no proof. Like, you would essentially just be writing, you know, a message board rumor or something. And people don't do that. Like, there's some standard. But by acknowledging that it existed and that it was included, that allows everyone to write it. And so it's not even necessarily like, I think that's what I just keep coming back to. It's like, that to me implies that it was at least intentional. I'm not saying designed to. I think that if anything, like, I don't think it was designed to undercut your coach or to make your coach look bad. Mm-hmm. I do think what it was designed to do was, hey, it's been 6 years, and there's a lot of frustration with how the program's being run.
Mm-hmm.
What? Get it together. That's how I took it, but
well,
one person's interpretation.
No, I agree with you on it, but think about what you're saying, Jeff. You're still, I don't want to say we're throwing them under the bus today, but you're still not helping them out at all by doing that. And it's already a lot going on that's negative. I could see if the coaches stuff wouldn't have happened. And if it's already a crazy week, Jeff. I mean,
I think they're related.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I kind of like what Ed said last week. The NCAA had nothing to do with that decision. I was one of the first people who come and say that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So,
but what I'm saying is, I think what's related is, I think we also oftentimes make this assumption that, let's say if it comes from the administration, so the president, whatnot, mm-hmm. somebody high up, because we can rule out Ed. Didn't come from Ed, according to Ed. And I think that's likely. It would be very confusing to me to have Ed release the statement he did. Like, that, I mean, you can make the argument he's playing both sides, if he did, but I think that is highly unlikely.
Yeah, yeah.
Because usually the Office of Communications is probably going to be presidential. And I think that we make the mistake of thinking a university president is just all of a sudden operating blindly. I think it's possible what would happen is somebody that the university president talks to a lot, i.e. somebody with a lot of money, would have said, go ahead and fire a warning shot. Again, that is wildly speculative, and that's kind of connecting dots. And if that were reporting, that's different. I couldn't write that. But that is my interpretation of how it's gone.
So let me ask you this, Jeff. If that is right, and I know we keep saying it's just a warning and stuff like that, are warning shots done publicly with that type of... Because that's a lot of... A warning shot to me is like you shoot up in the air.
Yep.
Or it's like if you're not trying to have a hard accident, you just bump him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you.
But to me, when they go nationally and it's a top story on ESPN website and stuff, I think that does a little more damage than a warning shot.
I agree. I would also imagine from the point of view, if you're firing said warning shot, that the other attempts at warning shots were not received.
Mm.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
again, I don't want this to be like I'm taking that side. Mm-hmm. I'm more of about I'm way more interested in trying to figure out what's going on. Because I kind of straddle this fence, and I hate doing this, but it's like I am someone, there's a lot of people that cover sports that have not honestly either played a lot of sports, yeah. been in a lot of locker rooms, know how it goes. Or they do, and they cover it in a fashion that acts like they don't because that's the way that people operate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do not consider myself in that category.
Mm-hmm.
And I do understand, oftentimes, though, that you can have stuff that if you put it on paper, it makes it look a lot more chaotic than it is in comparison to everyone. And I think what I would say is, it's not even necessarily that there isn't chaos. What I would say is I think people would be shocked to learn how much chaos even at functional programs there are.
For sure. I'm with you on that. And then, like you said, it's just so much that has to happen in preseason. Now, granted, the firing time was wrong. It was not the best of timing, right? But I'm with you even what you
said. What was the term? It's unfortunate timing.
Yeah. I'm with you on... I don't think it's a big percentage. I think it's a small percentage of people who's frustrated. Well, I'm going to say it's a big percentage of people that's frustrated, but most of the big frustration, they still are supporting Penny. I do think it's a small percentage that maybe have a voice with the media. Because like you said, when you start losing at like SEC schools, the big booster people, stuff you've been known, mm-hmm. they want to get out there. And I'm going to take it a little deeper than sports, Jeffrey. And I don't know if this ever happened to you. I know a lot of us men that went through a lot. It's even in a real relationship. Stuff that you've been doing when a person ready to break up sometime.
Oh, yeah. All the
stuff. All kind of little smalls.
You got that list there ready for a while. Yeah. Well, heck, I can seriously, we can even do it with politics. It's like all of a sudden before Biden does the debate.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, listen, everything's great. He's going to shock the world. He's going to be great. Everything. And it's like, as soon as we see the debate, oh, it's been terrible for months. Like, you know, like, yeah. It's like, well, that's kind of mixed messaging. But, like, it's the same thing. It's just how it goes.
When people are trying to get off the hook, they right. try to give a job or anything. They Correct. Start giving you write-ups for stuff that you do.
Correct.
You came back in 31 minutes. I come back 31 minutes the last 3. You're a minute over. So, people try to cover their trail.
Absolutely.
You know, and so... I do see a small percentage people doing that. I do think Penny is so, and it's me personally speaking on this, and I don't, you know, Penny is so passionate about, you know, Memphis basketball and basketball. And Penny have always, to me, been, and you grew up here, Jeffrey, the chosen one. He's been like our guy.
My first basketball jersey, the number one Orlando Magic.
My first pair of nicest shoes, because at first I had, yep. unfortunately with my upbringing, I had to start off with Payless first. But when mm-hmm. I made it to Foot Locker, my first Amen. Pair of shoes, was the totally Penny's, agree. Right? So I do feel like in a way, I'm not saying betrayed, but Penny is a passionate guy. He even said it back in the day with interviews. He do get sensitive about certain stuff. I seen the Orlando Magic interview back in the day. And I feel like right now he feels like, because I know... When the more he do interviews and I talk to different media members, because, you know, I have friends all around from the players, media, coaches. They like, oh, he's putting himself, he's putting his mouth more. He's coming off like this. I do think he's a little like, you know, I ain't going to say overwhelmed is the word, because he's doing a good job to act, you know, to try to throw it off quick. Like, oh, this happens everywhere.
He's trying to move on. There is very,
but, I agree. But it's like, they're not. Some people not letting it just move on, though, or whatever. It's so I don't think it's moving as quickly as he wanted. So I think it's probably frustrating because I think he do want to go back to regular scheduling, getting his staff, practicing, and want to be judged. And he has said this. I don't know if he said this publicly, but he said a lot to people around. He wants to be judged by his wins and losses, and not make it feel. Personal. Now, I know in that position, you know, you're a head college coach in the high major school, represent, you know, some stuff is just part of the job, but, you know, the people are going to have a microscope on you. Even guys like me. So, I mean, three people told me, Jeffrey, I was at the fair, and then I was at Shoe 360. I had different people tell me 3 and 3, we saw you leave church early. I'm like, how did you see that? It's like 800 people at Oak Grove. So I'm saying that, and I'm on a smaller.
Yeah.
Penny Hunter, you're going to deal with the microscope. You're one of the greatest people ever. You got shoes. You're
he never knew who's watching is
yeah,
your point, yeah.
Yeah, or even watching you that bad. I'm glad I wasn't digging my nose or something at church. So I say that to say he's going to get some of that, but he wants to keep it. And I don't know, is this fair to you, Jeffrey? He wants to keep it about basketball and not feel like it's personal attacks. And I think he didn't use it, personal attacks.
No, I think you are correct. I think the problem, though, is that's where the disconnect is. I think Penny believes that Coach Penny has done a better job than the general public feels Coach Penny has in terms of judging the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take a look at it, all right, yes, signed two number one recruiting classes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, then you get the Wiseman drama that comes with it. All right. And also, if we take it and look at it in terms of the coaches that have had 6 years, he has the least accomplishments.
Really?
Yes. I mean, Josh made four tournaments.
Okay.
Two wins. Cal, at that point, would have had an Elite Eight and I believe three tournaments.
Okay.
Larry would have had, I think, four tournaments in an Elite Eight, and Penny has
but we always
two tournaments in one.
We always skip Tick Price, though.
He didn't get 6 years, did he?
Oh, he didn't get six?
I think Tick got
Oh, okay. Because for some reason, I know his stats better than he is. Everybody who writes stories.
Because the same, like, Tubby got two, right?
Yeah, Tubby didn't get number two. But it feels like everybody goes straight from Cal to Finch.
No, the idea would be of coaches that got 6 years.
Okay. And before this year, I think they were saying it. But how many years did Tick get?
I'm looking at it right now. I want
to. So he was that quick? I thought he was longer than like a Tubby. I was younger then, though. I thought he.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. School history. Tick got 2.5.
Oh, he was there that quick?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. He is Tubby.
Johnny took over in the middle of
the half a year.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're saying, and it's another thing, now that you done broke it down, Jeffrey, because, like, when parents come to me or people ask me, how do you get ranked here? You know, you got ESPN rankings, you got 24/7. So I let them know that because I'm good friends with, you know, the Eric Bosses and the Travis Banhams and the Paul Bancardis, and it used to be Evan Daniels before he moved on. And
Evan's in NBA front offices now.
Yeah, he's in agents now or whatever. Yeah. He's there in Nashville, and then Reggie Rankin and and what's the guy with the Spurs that ran ESPN forever? Dave Teller.
Yeah.
So I say that to say because I have relationships with them, I have to explain to parents like, okay, this guy right here does his rankings where who he thinks is gonna be the best pro prospect. This person does his rankings who he thinks the best college. This guy does his rankings based on who's producing the best now. Some people do it on potential.
Well, you left out one other category. Whether or not that guy's the son of LeBron James.
Yeah. He emphasized that. So when you're looking at these categories, to Penny, our Penny fans would need to know how y'all judged it because it's another stat that can mess you up that says something like, he on this one stat, and I'm not exaggerating. I had Jason and John didn't believe me. I ain't going to say they didn't believe me, but I put this to them one time. It shows he done won like 70 some percent of his games are 60. It's a high rate over your first 5 years that most people don't have. But they like, but yeah, here, but we're talking about tournament. But you get what I mean? So,
yeah, no. I mean, so if you, I used to, God dog it, I need to update it. I used to have a spreadsheet that did the same thing. And if you look at total wins and losses, he's basically, I need to look at it.
It's like really, it's, really good. Y'all would be surprised, like his total win.
If you look at it, though, it's very similar to Larry's first 6 years, but Larry has the run. I mean, to me, this is really, I keep coming back to this and see if you agree with this, because I know it's all shoulda, coulda, woulda, and if we want to change the result of one game, like, hey, man, that's sports. I get it. Like, but I really just think this entire operation changes that night in Columbus when if, let's say the ref just calls timeout. He gives Alex the timeout, and they win the game. Or let's say Davis misses the shot. Memphis rebounds, goes the other way. Well, we know this. it may not have been pretty, but Memphis was going to beat FDU the next night.
Yes.
And at the minimum, they were going to a Sweet 16. And that would have been the, all right, there's the second weekend. We made the tournament last year, second weekend. You were going to get to play a Tennessee team that was completely, completely decimated with injuries. All right? And then if you beat them like FAU did, you were going to get to play Kansas State, and Marquise Noel was out of gas. Like, that guy had been carrying K-State for that whole tournament. He was out of gas. And then all of a sudden, even if you don't win that, let's say you just get to the Elite Eight, everyone's still right there. But it's the fact that you didn't get that. And it's not like, oh, he immediately lost support. I always just view it as momentum. And I've always said, let's be real, momentum is a replacement term for money.
Mm-hmm.
Because what matters the most in this era? It's
money means a lot.
But if they would have gone on that run, everybody's on fire. Everyone's slapping Penny's back. What can I do for you, coach? What do you need? Let's get all this done. But it doesn't happen like that. And if you remember that summer, it wasn't like a bad summer, but it was like a, hey, man, they're kind of like striking out a little bit here. What's going on? And then you had kind of like the NIL dinners, whatnot, like trying to raise money and whatnot. So it's like, I don't think any of that happens. And then you take what happens last year. And when it goes from, whatever, 15-2, what was it? What was the start?
It was similar to that. They were in the top 10.
And I mean, I think the number was 15-2. And then you finish the way that you do, and everybody's just ready for it to be over with.
That was tough.
I'll just say this. I don't think they would have wound up with having a team led by Javon Quinterly if they go on the run.
And you might have just hit on something, Jeff. That play that FAU score might be the biggest play.
The biggest what if.
And I ain't going to say, if not in Memphis history, because in Penny Hardaway era Memphis history, because I agree with you. And I know people don't want to hear Wooder. I'm not a Wooder coach. I don't want to hear that mess. But
no, make the play.
That play right there, because I think they would have did everything they did. I think they would have beat every team they beat. And now you're going to the
same
second.
We saw for the next 2 years, FAU and Memphis were basically the same team.
And Memphis, and even the year before, maybe it's the year after, man, they really, he gets them fired up for the tournament. They could have beat Gonzaga, coach. They should have beat them before a free play. So he really.
Who got in foul trouble?
Maybe been DeAndre at the end, but he really gets it going. So when he can get the monkey, like last year, I'm going to be real with you. Me being a coach, I do think it was horrible how they ended the year. But the beginning, like, Virginia coach, Bennett, he's good friends. But this is one of the best coaches ever. Man, he outschooled him and outclassed him by like 20 points, I believe, or close to that. Then he went and played two of the SEC teams, and I thought it was one of the better coaching jobs in the country at the time. And I have never seen something, I think him, the players, I don't know who all got to take blame for this, especially a head coach, but he went to me from being, and maybe y'all didn't take it this far, potentially a coach of the year candidate to one of the most extreme situations I ever seen.
No, I actually think that is entirely fair. I'm not saying he was the favorite to be coach of the year, but the way that it was going, there was very much the possibility that there was a coach of the year awaiting him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it was a really, really good. And so for it to end like that, and I never was one last year that took shots at Quinterly, but this is what I would say. And I tell people all the time, Jeff, I think I told you before the show, on these Mondays, Memphis play on Thursday, Saturday. Well, when let's say Tuesday, Thursday, yep. Saturday, lose all three of the unranked teams. Me and Penny have a relationship, but guess what? I'm going to come on here and say that was horrible. That was horrible getting prepared. But right now, I just want to say that some of the stuff is like a guy like Quinterly. I love Quinterly. You know, you didn't hear from his ex-coaches about his lack of heart. I don't care who you is, Coach K, whoever, if you don't have a good point guard, it's really nothing you can do.
It's like playing football without a quarterback. You can, but it's really hard. You better be you better be awesome everywhere else.
It's crazy. And so when I started hearing stuff that was going on there, mental toughness, this net. Then you don't have a backup point guard. And so it's like, I knew then, I was like, oh, if they saying he has checked out at times. And then, does this make, now I don't want to hop on this because this is a very sensitive subject, okay? But it ain't even been 6 months or whatever. And when you see what Quinley just went through, does that give Penny like more of a look more past? Or like, this is what he was, or do people not care, haven't thought about it? Or have, and people most
yeah, back? You do get a, if you would have gone on the run, you get a bigger pass.
Okay.
I mean, look at, like, look at Michigan football right now. Like, it was tough to look a lot worse than they did on Saturday.
Yeah.
And, no, like, no one's head's rolling. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it, it – and it's kind of what I keep coming back to. I think part of the reason why – like, let's say if someone really was trying to fire, like, a real warning shot, and you go, okay, how helpful is that? I agree with you. I don't know if it's helpful – in that moment in time, but maybe it's helpful big picture of let's tighten some things up, whether it be tighten the leaks up, but let's tighten some things up. And in the end, we can sit here, it can be talking points, whatnot. What is going to matter is this basketball season.
For sure.
And so we can do the whole, okay, well, what's who does that serve? Like, how is that good for anyone? We're still getting to the same point. It's going to be about what happens this year. And I mean, I think that's the other thing. The other thing that I've noticed about Penny's teams, with the exception of one, the DeAndre and Kendrick team, they had that was the one team. Penny's teams have a tendency of when it gets to conference play, they don't take it nearly as seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a theme. Well, in other years, maybe that doesn't hurt as much. But when you have the league that is so, let's be real, bad, like you can't really afford to slip up. I mean, we saw, basically, it wasn't just, like what, if you look at final record, the final record was like 22-7 maybe? 22-10. All right, 22-10, and that includes the tournament loss, 11-7 in league. Like, on paper, that's not that bad.
Mm-mm.
But heard, they weren't even close. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Like, they weren't even sniffing the tournament. Because when we got to the conference tournament, it was win or go home.
Because they didn't even accept NIT last year, did it?
No.
Because it was like, everybody, I felt like last year the energy was so bad.
Everybody. Well, they weren't the only, I'm not even holding that against them. I think what a lot of teams did, I think a lot of teams didn't accept NIT bids.
I saw that last year, yeah.
A lot of teams didn't accept NIT bids so that the payments could stop.
Yeah. Or they could start new payments.
Exactly. That's probably a better way to say it. They could start new payments.
New payments. And I think they got to stop too, Jeffrey. I know they're saying about this too, but like some got to stop where like, okay, if you get put out early, it's like you have an advantage.
Yep.
Why teams are in the tournament. Now they're doing their just do too to hit recruits up, but you know, it's like if I'm getting ready for the Elite Eight and Final Four and Sweet 16, I'm still kind of focused on my team winning the championship a little bit more. You feel what I'm
yes.
saying? I think that, and that's a totally, totally different subject. And we talk about it at a later date. But I feel like it's a kind of advantage
totally
with you being out the tournament already.
I think that's why a lot of schools did it. All right, we're late to get to Munns. So let's take a break. We'll get to Munns next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 99 FM, ESPN.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of big waves, the University of Memphis basketball program made some big waves last week. When you put the week into perspective, like, what are your takeaways? What do you think? Let's start with basketball first, and then we'll get to the Ed Scott side of this later. But like, when you put last week in perspective, how do you sort it all out?
I guess from my perspective, I would be looking at it. I do look at it as sort of a reset on the first part of it, the coaching staff part of it. It's just been kind of for a while. There's just been some discord, some issues, shall we say, for a little while on that coaching staff. And I think this is a way to hit the reset button as much as you can at this stage of the game, which admittedly, it's not as if you can do a full reset, obviously, because we are less than two months now away from the season opener. So you do what you can. So that's kind of how I see the first piece of it. You know, of course, then you have to take into consideration the anonymous letter.
Yeah.
At this point, you have to just kind of make of it what you will. Some people are going to look at it as though the sky is falling. Other people are going to look at it as though, well, it's literally hearsay. Like, it's literally just somebody who wrote a letter, who made some claims without any real substantial proof. Now, I happen to know that there are other pieces to this, like other, not pieces to the letter, but like there's other stuff that was sent to the people that the original letter was sent to, that whoever wrote the letter views as proof. I don't see it that way, which is why I haven't reported it. And it's the same reason why I didn't report any of the specifics in the letter. And I would assume it's the same reason why Pat Forty didn't report any of the specifics in the letter. Because, again, what we're talking about right now is nothing more than some unknown person's claims without any real substantial proof or evidence to back up these claims. But getting back to your original question, so you've got the reset button part of it, and then you've got this other part of it that's kind of like fluid right now. We don't really know what to make of it all. Obviously Memphis acknowledged that they that they have seen this anonymous letter and that they turned it over to the NCAA. I think, so like I was saying before, you could either think the sky is falling or you could think that it's, you know, just somebody trying to stir up drama. I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. And I don't think that it's like a hard and fast, whatever the truth is, I don't think it's hard and fast. I think it is sort of a moving target. And so, yeah, like it was a roller coaster of a week, last week. And, you know, that's my take on everything that happened in that 24-hour time frame. What was it? It was like Tuesday night into Wednesday night. And I made the comment after the coaching staff part of it on Twitter, like, you know, there have been some wild days in Memphis basketball under Penny Hardaway, and somehow that one, when we were talking about just the coaching staff part of it, somehow that one didn't quite rise to the level of some other wild days, which was a feat in and of itself. But then if you take into consideration the next day, and that whole 24-hour time span, it's going to rival that James Wiseman November 8th, 2019, 24 hours where he's, you know, like arriving at FedEx Forum 15 minutes before tip-off because he'd been in court trying to get an injunction to be able to play, and then he actually is allowed to play despite what those two are going neck and neck. Those two 24-hour time spans are going neck and neck in terms of the wild factor.
How surprising was it to you to see the school acknowledge the letter?
Surprising. With the benefit of hindsight, not really surprised at all, honestly. Like, you were there for Ed Scott's interview, were you not?
Yes, I was on the other side of the glass, but I was there for every word.
Yeah, so like, is it any wonder that the school acknowledged? Like, Ed Scott has come in with a new mentality. Like, you guys talked about it on the radio last week. I've been saying it. Like, I talked to Ed Scott the day the news broke that he was going to be the next AD on the phone, and we talked for like 40 minutes, just me and him. And I didn't write anything off of it that day. But like, he made it very clear to me then, and he has made it very clear to me each subsequent time that I've talked to him, and each subsequent time that, you know, that we've heard from him. It doesn't have to be talking to me, but he's made it very, very clear numerous occasions that he's not about that whole, you know, like playing things close to the vest, you know, clandestine. He's not about being evasive. He's going to tell you what he can tell you, and what he can't tell you, he's going to tell you he can't tell you that. Like, he's going to be very, very upfront. And like, I saw the school's acknowledgement of the letter as like another sign that a new, you know, it's a new attitude over at that university, especially, you know, when you're talking about athletics. And so I really wasn't surprised based on my, you know, experiences and observations of Ed Scott so far.
And then along the same lines, you heard the Ed Scott interview. What did you kind of take away from that?
He's impressive. Working in the space that you and I work in, you really can't ask for much more than what he's given us so far. Now, there's no guarantees that that's going to continue, but transparency, the level of transparency that he has operated with up to this point, and that I know for a fact means a lot to him, like, even going forward, it means a lot to him to be as transparent as he has been so far. And so to see it again, especially especially given the timing of everything. Like, Jeffrey, how easy would it have been for him to just say, let's wait till next week? Or maybe
I'll be honest with you. As the producer, I was shocked that wasn't the case.
I'm telling you, like it wouldn't. Nobody would have batted an eye. It would have made sense. It would have been understandable, but that didn't happen. And so, no. I mean, I was glued to the radio the whole time, even though I was technically on vacation. I thought it was very, very impressive on his part. Again, he'll tell you what he can tell you. What he can't tell you, he'll also tell you he can't tell you that. He's not going to, like, dance around stuff or try to – he's not going to say a whole bunch of words that actually don't amount to anything. It's, again, going back to the point I was making before, in where we sit, on the side of the fence that we sit, it's very, very refreshing. And I thought that – he was revealing, and I thought he was. And the other part of it that I found, you know, good and positive is that, like, there were really no hesitations. Like, he was never really searching for answers as he was talking, which you know, usually means, I guess it can mean two things. It could mean either A, he's extremely well prepared and good at that sort of thing, being prepared, or B, he was just being completely genuine. Like, everything he was saying was just completely genuine. He believes what he was saying because it's to him the truth. And so, you know, I thought it was really, really just a great interview.
No, I'm with you. Like, I don't know when it somehow became, I don't know, almost like as a pejorative. It's like, oh, if you're prepared, it's like, well, you were trying to, like, spin something. It's like, I don't know. Like, I find it much more satisfying when you have someone who knows the questions, like, that he's going to be asked, is prepared for questions that he's going to be asked. Because it's not like we handed over a list of questions. And he was just ready to go. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, yeah. It is weird now how it's like, it's almost viewed as like a negative if, like, you were too prepared for that. It's like, since when?
You might say that if you just read a transcript. But if you listen to the interview, like, you could guess he was prepared. Like, was there any question he was prepared? No. Absolutely, he was prepared. But, like, he's also, again, if you just heard it, you could tell that he meant what he was saying. It wasn't rehearsed. It was prepared. Rehearsed and prepared are two different things.
Yes, I totally agree.
And he was very well prepared. And I thought the other part of it that I thought was really, really interesting was how, like, do you know how difficult of a line, like, how fine the line is probably for him right now, especially, well, last Friday, whenever he was on with you guys, like, how fine of a line it is for him to be walking right now. And I feel like he's walking it really well. Like, he's saying, you know, the stuff that he's saying about Penny and the stuff that he's saying about the program, the stuff that he's saying about himself and the stuff that he's saying about the team. It was all very good. The stuff that he said, you know, and you pointed it out pretty immediately. Like, he didn't just say Penny Hardaway will be the coach on November 4th when Missouri comes into FedEx Forum, period. There was a qualifier in there, and, you know, like, of course there.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.